Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Hey, welcome back, Army fans. Tough loss this past week, but we got another home game this time as an underdog against Troy next week. We're here to break it down for you. My name is James in Oklahoma City. I'm going to be hosting this week. We have Rob out of Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Dan in Coastal Connecticut. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good. A little under the weather after getting rained on for 3 hours. Turns out that's not as good for your health as you might hope, but I'm surviving and slowly fighting through it.
Rob?
Yeah, I watched a lot of football this weekend. Interesting games. And I think, like, as well as a self-fulfilling prophecy, we talked about kicking this week, and we watched a whole bunch of kickers miss. So I think it's always interesting to have the conversation on the roundtable and see how it plays out. But other than that, trying to enjoy some fall weather. We finally turned the corner, and it was 40 degrees this morning, and it's 60 degrees right now. So we are actually in the South in wintertime or fall. Corrections.
I have not been watching a lot of football recently because I have been to 3 weddings in 8 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yep, that's been my life. We'll kick it over to Rob for the sponsor in a second. We want to take a second, not sound tone deaf by smoking and joking on the podcast. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on in the Middle East right now. 1,000 dead in Israel, including 11 and counting at this point, American citizens, and what's probably the largest terror attack since 9/11. Thoughts and prayers with the people of that region. I know a lot of good people are trying to prevail there, but didn't want to sound tone deaf. We will cover Army football today so that we can look forward to that this weekend. But with that, let's go to Rob for a word from our sponsor, Buyer Barn.
Yeah, so we have a sponsor here at Ask for Football. It is BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn was founded by a class of 97 graduate by the name of Dan Robinson. Dan ran a traditional farm co-op for many years, and he realized there has got to be a better way to bring that into the 21st century. So Dan and his co-founder, Dinu, took their experience in IT management and development and built the world's first farm-to-farm online auction and sales platform. Buyer Barn provides reduced health issues because it cuts down on animal and owner contact, also reduces animal fraud through their buyer and seller rating system. They have a fully integrated auction platform with secure payment, so you're not running around with a bag of cash. Convenience to buy and sell on your own time, and you get better market pricing. Pricing. Sound like Cobra Commander, because of a much wider audience. So basically, Buyer Barn is dedicated to help small farmers in America and are providing a military discount to anyone who wants to assist them in the small family farm revolution. Jump onto our website and click on the tab that says Buyer Barn, or you can reach them at info@buyerbarn.com. Thanks, and I'll pass it back to James.
Thanks, Rob. We'll go over to Dan for a review of the Boston College game since he was the one that got soaked sitting through it.
Oh, man, did I ever. Holy cow, was it wet. I wore a ski coat, and that thing was soaked all the way through, inside and out. I didn't even know that you could, like, break down the water invincibility of a Gore-Tex ski coat, but apparently you can if you work at it hard enough. Anyway, Army football lost in a deluge to Boston College, 27-24. I think we all saw the game. Black Knights offense didn't do much in the first half, but their defense kept them in the game. They gave up 13 points in that first half, got an interception that set up a field goal. Despite being on the field for almost the entire first half, Army's offense came back to life in the second half. They actually took the lead in the fourth quarter, and they wound up losing on what I can only call an inexplicable forward lateral in plus territory with just over 5 minutes left to play. Save for that one forward lateral, quarterback Bryson Daly was actually magnificent in this game. In the second half, especially, he was 10 of 13 passing for 105 yards and a touchdown. But really, he was much better than that. He went 10 of 11 passing, with his only miss coming on just a god-awful drop by the tight end heading into the end zone in the second quarter. His other two misses came in the last 25 seconds of the game when the team was, like, frantically trying to do anything to, you know, pick up after giving up the touchdown there. He also ran 14 times for 99 yards, 7.1 yards per carry. I mean, like, he put the team on his back and tried to carry them, but somewhere along the way he lost his mind and threw a forward pass in the middle of a run. So running back Tyrell Robinson returned this week as well, which was awesome. He had 7 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown. That's 4.4 yards per carry. Also 1 catch for 21 yards. And running back Hayden Reed had 6 carries for 21 yards, 3.5 yards per carry. Those final numbers kind of amazing considering that the team ran for like maybe 1.5 to 2 yards per play in the first half. Also, 6 different Army receivers caught the ball this week. Hayden Reed had 3 catches. Casey Reynolds had 2 catches for 37 yards. Noah Short had another two catches for 16 yards. And notably, Isaiah Alston was out this game with an injury. So despite missing arguably their best receiver, Army offense played pretty well in the passing game when they finally let it cut loose. On defense, Army gave up 299 yards rushing on 61 carries. That's just under 5 yards per carry. They were on the field just under 35 minutes, as Rob would note, 70 defensive plays. But they forced 3 punts, an interception, 2 sacks, 4 total tackles for loss, and a turnover on downs. So, like, I don't necessarily know that the defense was great in this game. We said going into it that if Thomas Castellanos took over the game with his legs, that Army would probably lose. And he did, in fact, take over the game with his legs, and Army lost. But the defense played well enough to keep the team in the game early. And to be honest with you, they played well enough to win without a couple of just insane offensive mistakes. Finally, special teams. Quinn Moretzky has become pretty reliable. He made his only kick from 22 yards out. Cole Talley, again, put every kickoff out the back of the end zone, which is amazing when you're in a driving rainstorm. God knows Boston College's kicker didn't do that. Finally, punter Cooper Allen, wildly inconsistent. He had 5 punts with a long of 55 yards, which was awesome. But he also had 2 that went less than 20 yards, and that last one, like, really, really hurt. So that's my rundown of the game.
Thanks, Dan. I'll jump into good, bad, and ugly. Rob, you want to take the good?
Yeah, so for the good, save for the one play, Bryson Daly was outstanding in this game. Safety Quindrell Hammonds got a pick in the first half, setting up Army's first points before the break. This team fights. We've seen it repeatedly. This is the week that they fought back from a disastrous opening to take the lead and really should have won. I mean, a lot of good to see. You're watching films. I'm sure the films don't go as well as we observe them because the coaches are a little bit more critical, but at least from the play that we saw in that game, lots of improvements week to week on the offense. I think the offense has steadily improved a little bit more than the defense has, unfortunately, and I think that's kind of where we can roll into the bad, and I'll pass it back over to James. Thanks.
Yeah, so team... one play from winning, again, there were any number of plays where that was the case. In fact, with the forward lateral, the dropped tight end pass, either of the sub-20-yard punts, there were a number of Castellanos runs that could have changed the outcome. We talk about their record this year. They easily could be 4-1, but they really haven't put together a complete game against any of their opponents. I mean, Texas San Antonio is the closest, and then Delaware State was a good game against a bad FCS school. So kind of hard to read too far into that. I was talking about this with some other Army fans, and going into this game, Army had done one of each of the 4 things. They beat a team they should have beat. They beat a team they should have lost to. They lost to a team they should have lost to, and they lost to a team that they should have beat. And this game proved to be the 5th one, which was against a team that you really didn't know what was going to happen. You got something where you don't really know how to think of it afterwards, because the offense did well, the defense did well enough, and yet they still lost in the rain when they should have had an advantage. And so
we're going to talk about that a little more. I don't think the rain is an advantage. Okay. We'll come back to that. The ugly, man, Army on offense is just not playing good situational football right now. Like, it is awesome that these guys fight for extra yardage. Like, that's good. But putting the ball on the ground or lateraling it in traffic once you've already gotten the yardage you need to get the first down that your team needs you to get, like, that's boneheaded. And this team has now lost 2 games because of, like, these kinds of situational football mistakes. And I keep saying, all the football guys in the Firstie Club saying, well, I can forgive these mistakes of aggression. I don't know. I mean, I understand football is its own particular game, but this is the kind of mistake that's like sprinting the first mile in a 10K. Like, that's stupid situationally. I use that example because it's like a situation that most of us in the Army have been in. You've had one of these things where there's being aggressive, and then there's being stupidly aggressive. And we've like jumped the shark past aggressive into doing things that are like mind numbing to watch. Managing aggression in sport is like a non-trivial part of being a competitor. I mean, there's a time to play smart and there's a time to let the devil out, and knowing which of those that you're in is like part of what makes a good athlete a great athlete. It's actually why I personally am still into this stuff. Like, managing that whole sports psychology to me is the most interesting part of sports. You know, picking your spots, breaking the other guy's will because you've picked it correctly, trained hard enough, and then you land that blow at the critical moment. Like, it's hard to do, but when you get it right, it's amazing. We are like landing that blow and then stumbling through and landing on our face. That's kind of where we are right now. And it's these guys, they just don't have that balance, and they better find it fast because they're running out of time to turn things around. So that's the ugly.
There you stand. Let's go to takes on the game. We'll start with Rob.
Yeah, without going back and completely revisiting the good, the bad, the ugly, the bottom line is you got to play clean and tackle well on defense. I mean, the defense is doing okay. It's disappointing to see a quarterback that runs for 3 touchdowns get a 4th touchdown and the go-ahead in the waning moments of it. It's like, makes me question, do we not have a spy that could cover that dude? And if not, how are we going to protect against that? You know, because this is not going to be the last time that Army sees an athletic quarterback, so we have to figure that out. You know, I mean, and it's just one of those things. And of course, you know, that was extremely rhetorical question, because I'm sure we do have the athletes that could cover the dude. But at the end of the day, you know, I will stand on the fact that like the offense is steadily improving and the defense is kind of just like where they were at the beginning of the season, and we're 6 weeks in. Like, this should not be happening. And if it is, like, I get it. Talent being talent, and if you're overmatched, that's a completely different story. But like, these are all winnable games that are kind of just slipping out of our grasp, and I'll put a pin on it and pat the J.
Yeah, you know, winnable games for sure. You know, you never know how much stock to put into the fact that you have a new offensive coordinator and a new offensive system this year, and there's going to be growing pains. You know,
I will agree that we saw growing pains in the first half, right? Like, figuring out how much can we afford to throw the ball in a driving rainstorm. I will agree that that's part of dealing with a new offense.
But even stuff like, you know, forward laterals, you know, in the fourth quarter, like, that's stuff that Army's never really had to deal with before from an offensive scheme. So it's hard when you take a quarterback and it's his 5th game and he's probably run this play twice all season, and now he's got to execute it on a wet field. And, you know, and did he make a bad decision? Yeah, he made a bad decision. But that's probably the only time he's ever had to make that decision, you know, in a game since maybe he was in high school. So those are all growing pains too. And I expect that as, you know, as the years progress, those mistakes will lessen. It's still hard to watch games where execution is what makes you lose. And I won't deny that. But I'll leave it there. I only watched a select amount of the game on replay. I'm going to go back and watch the whole thing, even though I don't want to. But I'll pass it over to Dan.
So we have 2 comments from the peanut gallery. One says, that's one of the most frustrating aspects of this team. We've got to be good situationally because we don't have the talent not to be. I don't think that the problem was talent, despite the fact that they gave up a tremendous amount of size to Boston College. Like, I was actually shocked by how much bigger Boston College was than especially the Army defense. But I don't think, you know, you're giving up that much size and not giving up that many points. The problem wasn't talent, but it was a lot of size out there. And then similar comment, we better figure out how to stop a mobile quarterback because LSU's quarterback can really fly. So, yeah, man. Anyway, I wrote this in the recap, but when is the last time Army won a game in the rain? I'm not trying to be flippant about this. I'm actually curious. Like, I feel like I've been up in the rain, you know, up at Mikey Stadium in the rain a half dozen times over the years since 2015 when I became a season ticket holder. And I can't remember the last time we walked out of a rain game happy. It seems like
there was the Wake Forest game. It rained, right?
Which one?
The first Wake Forest. No, it did. What were the other rain games?
Remember. There was I had this in the recap.
Okay.
There was a game against. Let's come back to this. I'd have to look it up.
I'll pull it up. There have been
and you know, they lost to Duke in the rain. They lost to North Texas in the rain, and then, you know, and both of those were games that you know, they beat that North Texas team in the bowl game later that year, and they beat Duke the next year, you know, lose to Duke and Daniel Jones freshman year, but beat him when he's a junior. Like, that was nuts. So
that North Texas game, they lost because they had, I believe, 7 turnovers, 4 of which were interceptions.
Absolutely. In the rain. Yeah.
No,
I don't. I was in the stands.
That was my yuck year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm gonna go back and watch that one, because that was a brutal game to watch.
Yeah, it was horrible. But it just seems like this game, it seemed like they were just, you know, the first half they came out dead, trying to figure out what was gonna work and what wouldn't, which I understand, but and then in the second half, okay, they come out slinging it because they're down 10 points and they make that work, and that's awesome. But then, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, Brian Brennan says, the rain definitely gave the entire experience this weekend a theme. So anyway, let's move on. But I would, listen, if you're listening to this and you can think of a time when a Jeff Munkin team has played really well in the rain, I would legitimately like to hear that, because first off, it's supposed to rain again this week. And second off, like, I don't want to, I'm not trying to kill the program. I'm just, you know, spotting trends. That's kind of what we do here at Azure Football. And they seem to be really struggling in these rain games.
Yeah, I think we need to go all white unis and snow. Might be a little bit early for snow, but hey, what the heck?
I would, listen, if it was going to snow, I'd have 100% more confidence. I'll tell you that much. 1996 Army Tulane win. Okay, not Munkin, but I can't remember too many other rain games. All right.
All right. Well, let's go to fact or fiction review. Dan said the weather report is wrong and we actually catch a break on game day. Dan said fact, everyone else said fiction. Everyone else got it right, as we've discussed in detail. Rob says Army gets 3 TFLs this week. That was a fact agreement. Jordan says you get more than 4 yards per carry. Rob and Dan said fact. Jordan called his own fiction. And it was a fact, 4.9 yards per carry. So they did run almost at will against Boston College.
Second half, not the
second half. Yeah.
But it is frustrating that you lose a game when you don't have any turnovers before the last 25 seconds in garbage time, and you're running for almost 5 yards per carry. Like, that almost never happens.
Right. Yeah. And you also don't look back at this game and say it was the defense's fault. Because they played well enough to keep it in. So yep. it's a weird result in a lot of different ways. Another 96 game in the rain, Army Navy, 33 degrees raining, never been so cold in my entire life, and did winters at Fort Riley. Yep, I'm gonna stay in the hot states of Texas and Oklahoma for now. With that, we'll cut to Dan for our commercial from Craig Oxen.
Yeah, so Craig Oxane is the vice president of residential lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago, member of the class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the largest VA lenders in the country. He offers super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal he possibly can. Why is that important? Because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place. And, you know, the process itself, you have to sign like 2 inches worth of paperwork. And it's really not the time to deal with somebody who just thinks of you as a number or a chance to make a quick buck, you know, some random big box bank or mindless website. This is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Azure Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that you possibly can by introducing you to a guy that you can trust, who you really need to meet if you're trying to either buy or refinance a house. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lender's fees for veterans. It's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. Man, if you can't use $1,300, I don't know how to help you. Send it to me because I can use it. Anyway, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. Link's on our website. Click a link, fill out a quick questionnaire. You'll be talking to the guy in a couple of hours. It is too easy.
All right. Thanks, Dan. All right. Next week, this Saturday, Army gets a weird time slot. They're going to be playing at 3:30 at home on CBS Sports. Usually they get the noon game. Navy takes 3:30, and Air Force or some Mountain West school will take the 7 o'clock time slot. Air Force takes up that Mountain West slot. Navy is on the road, and I guess they got a MAC matchup, but it had to be at noon. So Army slides to 3:30 at home, first time in a while, and they face Troy. So Troy is 4-2, started out a little rocky, and they're looking a lot better. They lost to K-State, who at that point was ranked 42-13. They lost to an undefeated James Madison, 16-14. James Madison is a would-be Sun Belt champion favorite if they were eligible to win it this year, as is their last year of transition to FBS. Then they played Western Kentucky, lost by 3 points, beat Western Kentucky 27-24. Then they beat Georgia State 28-7. Then they played Arkansas State and won by a lot, 37-3. So they've beaten a lot of bad teams, and they lost to two good teams. So nothing crazy surprising there. We'll find out more Saturday. On offense, they have a power running game. We saw this last year. You know, the final score was 10-9, and there's a reason for that, because there was a lot of running going on and a lot of clock getting chewed. They have a lot of short passing, keep the chains moving, a lot of small, quick reads that their quarterback will make, very similar to last year and rather similar to Army's offense in a lot of ways. The running back, Kamani Vidal, has 131 carries, 835 yards, over 6 yards a carry and 6 touchdowns. He's going to be a huge player on Saturday. Quarterback Gunnar Watson returns from last year. He's 113 of 186 passing, which is very respectable, for almost 1,600 yards. That's 61% passing. He's got 10 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, but he has been sacked 14 times. So that Army defensive line, that's an opening for them to potentially make an impact. Decent accuracy, especially in the short passing game. He's not much of a running threat outside the pocket. He's got more than 2 sacks a game, like we talked about, and they like to spread around the field. They have 3 wide receivers with at least 20 catches, so they share the love there on offense. Wide receiver Chris Lewis is the downfield threat, just 13 catches, but almost 24 yards per catch. So those DBs cannot let Lewis get behind him. Let's go to the defense. Dan, you want to take this one?
Yeah, so they play kind of a typical run the ball, play good defense strategy at Troy. It's classic because it works. They have the 10th ranked rushing defense in college football, giving up just 84 yards per game rushing, less than 3 yards per carry. They've allowed just 7 rushing touchdowns all season. Not quite as good a passing defense, giving up about 200 yards per game, but they have 11 sacks, 19 passes defensed, only 4 interceptions. Interestingly, Troy is not great at forcing fumbles, which is kind of amazing considering how good their rushing defense is. They have just 3 on the season, which when you add in 4 interceptions, both thrown and stolen, that gives them a net turnover margin of -5. So something we probably should have covered in the offense is that this team puts the ball on the ground kind of a lot. With that turnover margin, they're 114th in the FBS. I'll take the special teams too. Kicker Scott Taylor Renfro is perfect on points after, but he's 11 of 13 on field goals, and he has made 0 kicks over 40 yards. So his range is 39 yards or less.
Gotcha. Right. Well, hopefully that means we have the edge on now. On a kicking game this week. Final notes, we talked about 330 on CBS Sports. Line opened at Army plus 1.5, has slid to Army plus 4.5, over-under sitting at 44. And the hook, weather again calling for rain, and we'll see how that plays out. Maybe Munkin can prove Dan wrong.
That'd be awesome. I would love for him to prove me wrong and then like talk smack about it after the game. It would be delightful. I'm totally...
Hey, all right, let's go to thoughts on the game. I'll go Rob, then Dan, then I'll wrap it up.
Okay, so is it wrong that I want to see a defensive struggle this week? You know, I mean, it usually happens against Troy, so that shouldn't be surprising, but I would like to see, you know, the defense tighten up. Like, the offense is doing well, but the defense is tightening up. I, you know, completely want to see a complete game by the defense. I don't want to see a second-half letdown. I would prefer a shutout. I don't know if that's going to happen. Let's hold these guys to field goals if they make it to the red zone. If not, keep them put past the 39-yard line so their kicker will miss. And I'm okay with the pitcher's duel in the kicking game. I think we've managed to keep the pitchforks out of our conversation, but I think, you know, another loss at home, I think people are going to start getting a little bit antsy on the rest of the season. And, you know, contrary to last year's team, like these guys, you know, they had a rough start, but they were able to finish. I think this team is, you know, off to a rough start, and they can still finish, but they have to finish the games, let alone the season. And I think that's the most concerning part, at least right now. But getting back on track against Troy is probably the way to do it, because they're a pretty solid team in the Sun Belt, and it may bode well for future opportunities for Army. But I'll pass it over to Dan.
I'm nervous about this game, and I have been. Troy has been steadily improving all season. I don't agree that they've beaten a bunch of bad teams. Western Kentucky is a decent team. James Madison is a really great team, but they lost. Georgia State is also really good this year, and they blew Georgia State out. I will just say that if running back Kamani Vidal gets going, like, we're screwed. But on the other hand, if he doesn't get going, they should be able to hold this offense in check. So it's an obvious key, right? You hold this guy in check and you can probably make this work. I do not think Gunnar Watson is going to beat this team with those quick outs. I mean, this isn't Syracuse. I'm also really curious. I wrote this in the recap too. Really curious to see what the difference in size makes. Like, how would Troy play against Boston College? Because I don't think that they would be shutting that running game down to less than 2 yards per carry. Like, that's a huge offensive line that Boston College has. So I'm curious to see how Army's defense fares against dudes that are more like their size and not, you know, 4 inches taller and 75 pounds heavier. Final thing, man, I do not want to get wet this week. I really don't. And I'll agree with you, Rob, man. I feel like the fan base is hanging on by a thread, and another loss this week, and everybody's going to tune out until Navy week, which sucks for us because we're, you know, we're doing this podcast and I would like for people to listen to it.
Yeah. You know, we're at a weird point in the season, right? Two wins, and you start counting what are the possible wins to get you to bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
At this point you have UMass, you hope, you really need Troy, you need Coastal Carolina, and then you need a CIC game. And that gets you there, right? Like, that puts you at six wins, but it's not an easy path. To me, it seems like a great time to start taking some risks. I don't want to see, you know, Army come out and start running the same midline option from the shotgun for the first 11 plays from scrimmage. I like to see them open their playbook up a tad bit earlier. We've seen them open that playbook a lot later in the games, and I get a lot of that has to do with gauging the reactions that you get early in the game. So you can't just go right into that. But we're waiting a long time to start opening up that playbook, and I'd like to see, you know, maybe some risks being taken now that we're at a point where you have to win. So I don't know. I don't know if you guys agree, but
I definitely agree that that was the case this week. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they had a decent game plan against Syracuse. It's just that they didn't execute. Like, they had those passes over the middle. It's just Dewu was off target. It's a shame because you wasted a game where he's essentially perfect throwing the football.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is essentially 10 of 10 throwing the football, and you waste that. And in the rain, no less.
Yeah. Got to get the slant and going with Isaiah Alston. I mean, you put Ajon Marshall and Isaiah Alston on the same side. Who's going to put those two dudes?
You know what?
Both athletes in space.
Yeah, you know what I would really love to see is one of the first few plays from scrimmage, a screen to Robinson.
Oh, they were doing that. The first two games of the season they started both.
I know, and Daly threw the ball at his feet.
Twice, yeah.
Twice. I want to see him do it, and I want to see it work. I want to see Daly throw a screen to Robinson now that he's back, and Robinson to go for like 17 yards in one of the first few plays from scrimmage. I just want to see Daly feel comfortable throwing the ball early in the game. Like we haven't really seen that yet. And I want to see
He
comfortably his passing game early.
He plays better once he's taken a hit. I don't know if I want to see that first. Like, I could let him run that slow mesh read, let him run into somebody big, get thrown on the ground, or as he did this week, slam a guy. That was freaking awesome.
I don't like doing that in Syracuse too. Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. But I agree with you that they got to do it. I don't know if I want to see that first. I agree with you that they got to do it though. I mean, listen, this offense, this is not the flex bone, right? They have to throw to make this offense work. And that's not a critique. Like, I'm not criticizing the offense to say that they need to be able to throw. Like, if the safeties come down in the box, you have to throw. That's fine.
Yeah. I think it, but all that being said, take a shot downfield every now and then just to keep them honest. You know what I mean? You have to, especially with the talent that we have with guys on the edge now that in the receiver billets, they can move down the field, you know, run a couple slants, run outs and ups or whatever it is, because, you know, when you look at the UTSA game, what worked was the guys were catching passes when they were open. There weren't drops. And I think that's a statistic that we haven't really looked at this season is how many drop passes has Daly had, you know, versus how many, you know, turf balls he's thrown. And I think as the offense opens up, we have to start considering those because, again, you know, drop passes kill the best quarterbacks in college football.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's something that we have to look at. And I think it's a stat that, like, as Army fans, we don't look at, we don't consider it because, like, we don't throw enough. But now that we're throwing 15, 20 times a game, you have to start considering, you know, drop passes or you know, poorly thrown balls, not because they're out of desperation, just because, you know, they're off target. And so I think that is a statistic that as a football watcher, we have to manage, you know, and I think that's an expectation that we just haven't really looked at because we haven't had to for so many years. But I think that's part of it. And I think, you know, going down range or going down the field 2-3 times a game, just like chuck a long one, you know.
I don't see it'll be the week though. I mean, would you throw a long ball like that in a driving rain, in another driving rainstorm? Although I guess if your quarterback's hot, he's hot. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, taking that shot downfield, like, that immediately loosens the defense up because they're like, crap, man, they're throwing on second down, second and three, or whatever it is, you know. And I don't know what the analytics look like, but, you know, from a gut play of football, like, hey, look, if you want to keep the defense honest and the safeties are crashing, you got to throw over their head.
Yeah, comment as well. I agree with Dan Daly, plays better after contact. And I, by the way, completely agree that he plays better after contact. I'm just saying I'd like to see him comfortable without having to do that, right? And even if it's just one quick high percentage pass, like super easy, I just want to see it where he feels comfortable before we're seven offensive plays into the game. All right, let's move on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
We'll start out with Rob. Rob, you have your fact or fiction?
Yeah. Hayden Reed catches an actual touchdown this week.
I guess I'll say fact. He caught two or three balls this past weekend. They've definitely been using the running backs to do that. So, yeah, I'll say fact.
I'll say fiction just because I feel like they don't do the same game plan twice in a row with that. Probably spying that now. I hope he does, but I'll say fiction.
Yeah, I'll say fact. I think we got to get the running backs involved in the passing game, whether that's coming out of the backfield or, you know, as a wideout catching balls, you know, as the third receiver or whatever.
All right, Dan?
I will say Army holds Kamani Vidal under 100 yards rushing. Traditionally, when there's a running back to key on, not so much a read option quarterback, but an actual running back to key on, they're pretty good with that. So I'm going to say fact.
I'll say fact as well. The defense has done enough all year long. I've never felt like the defense has been the reason that we've lost a game.
I don't think they're quite as good against the run as they were, say, 2 years ago.
Sure, but they're also better against the pass than they were. It's been good, too. They haven't been beat deep. I can't remember even once they've been beat deep.
I mean, they got beat deep three times against UTSA.
Yeah, that's true. The especially with the end of the end of the first half.
I agree with you that hasn't been the problem, and
that hasn't been an issue.
Losing games,
yeah.
And, you know, if the only thing you're giving up is that long ball, you're usually okay.
I'll go fact, Rob.
Yeah, I'll go fact, and I'll be the homer for the fact agreement. But I also think that, like, the defensive front has been playing okay, and as long as they hold up and shut this guy down, then it forces the quarterback actually to throw the ball, and that's advantage Army, because this kid's dropping back and he gets sacked twice a game, and he's putting the ball on the turf or throwing it away. That's better for the team to shut the running game down. So we kind of have to do it, to be honest.
Right. Okay, and then I'll do mine. Army has fewer than 6 penalties and fewer than 30 penalty yards, which is what they had against BC this past week. I'll go fact, Dan.
They played very sloppy this week. First half, you know, all those penalties. It was exactly the opposite of what you expected. Boston College played clean, and Army, who was previously the third least penalized team in college football, took a ton of penalties. So I'll agree, fact, that was an outlier. I mean, they didn't do it in the second half. It was just came out in the first half and looked like garbage. Took them a little while to get going. Like I get it, but that's, I'm just saying, as a matter of reality, that's what happened.
Right. Rob?
Yeah, so I will jump on this one again. I will say fact as well, because the bottom line is, got to play clean. If we play clean, we win, you know, for the most part. So it's got to be on the forefront of everybody's mind this week.
I'll tell you what, if it does rain again, if it was me, I would want to warm up a lot, because if it's going to take these guys a half to get into the game and they're going to look that much better at the end of the game than the beginning, then to me, that just says, hey, I'm not warming up enough. You know, this I needed to get lathered up earlier.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll take the mailing list too. So, hey, if you like Army football but hate social media, who doesn't? Social media is terrible. Go to asforfootball.com/subscribe and sign up for our mailing list. We send out one email per week with this week's content. It's too easy. Keep up with Army sports and As for Football. So, hey, jump on it. James, you have a favorite thing, so it's up to you.
Yeah, I got a few favorite things. I know Dan teased it last week. I did an interview with Army men's basketball coach Kevin Kuick. That'll get dropped next week, correct, Dan?
As soon as I have time to put it together, my goal is next week.
Okay.
If I didn't feel so lousy, in all honesty, if I didn't feel as lousy as I feel right now, I probably would have done it today.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, no rush. Our basketball season doesn't start for another month and a half or so. So I really enjoyed the interview. He seems like an awesome head coach. I'm really excited. We're losing a lot of players, and it's likely to be a rough year, but you know, it seems like a good head coach to bring us through it. Couple other things. I'll be going to the LSU game. I just found out.
Oh, awesome.
So if you guys are going to be there and want to meet up, we'll be tailgating near the stadium. Come find me and we'll have some beer. Game time just got announced for that game. It's going to be a night game in Death Valley, which is like a bucket list item in college football. 7:30 p.m. on SEC Network. And then last thing is Army-Navy series. So three Army-Navy events this past weekend. First one was men's golf. Army was down 4-0 after day one. On day two, they work all the way back. They tie it up at 5.5 all. And they have one of the matches, they get to 5.5, and then they win in a playoff. They win the Golf Star. Then they had the spring football game at Mikey Stadium. I'm not sure that they've ever played that at Mikey before. I've never seen that. Maybe they did a long time ago, but
yeah, that's super, super throwback to back in the day when I was playing before they
got
the stadium down by the water treatment facility.
Yeah.
We used to walk up to Mikey Stadium every Friday night. So
gotcha. So that was great to see. You know, I think all their other games are still going on down at Shea Stadium, but we're getting to see that at Mikey was cool, good crowd, and Army comes away with the win after a late touchdown to break a tie. So they win the Sprint Football Star. So they go up 2-0 in the Star Series. They also had a game or a match against Navy Volleyball down at Gillis. They won that 3-1. Upcoming this weekend on Friday at 7 p.m., men's soccer plays Navy in the Army-Navy Cup down at Subaru Park in Chester, Pennsylvania, and whatever the Philly MLS team stadium is down there. On Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, the men's and women's cross-country meet. It will be at Ohm against Navy. And then at 7 p.m. on Saturday, women's soccer, who has looked really good this year, plays at Navy. So there's between men's and women's soccer and men's and women's cross-country, four more stars being awarded this weekend.
That's nuts, man. One quick note about that LSU game. Craig Oxane will also be there, so I will have to make sure to get you guys hooked up. He's got a bunch of hats, which we've been giving out pretty steady at the games. But if you catch up with James or Craig, get yourself a hat.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, I think that about wraps it up. Go Army, beat Troy.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. BuyerBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to BuyerBarn.com/military. That's BuyerBarn, BuyerBarn.com to learn more, or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.